Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Giamatero. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what's going on?
Oh, days like today.
Yeah, it was all like I joked around. I'm like, yeah, I went to the Space Needle and had some lunch today. I'm going to check out a Mariners game this weekend. It was, you know, it's like Seattle weather.
Trying to see how many more Seattle things you could mention.
I went to the
Starbucks.
What's the big fish market?
The Pike Place Market.
Pike Place Market.
Yeah. Threw some fish.
Got some octopus.
You know, when you're walking around the streets of Seattle, you just get some octopus for the go.
Why don't you? Went to the ginger beer bar right next to Pike's Place, Pike Place, rather.
Okay, yeah. You guys ever try octopus?
Did you? Yes, I have.
Love octopus.
Did you take the ferry from Bainbridge Island, perhaps? Did you? No?
I went whale watching in Anacortes.
Did you go to Snoqualmie Falls?
And
Snoqualmie's so pretty up there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
really is.
Yeah. I don't know Seattle that well. Oh, I went to go visit Mike Sauk.
And his buddy Brock.
I don't know Seattle that well.
I hung out with Russell.
I went to go see where Lily Bloomquist used to live.
Tornado was hugely established and highly esteemed.
I don't know about all that. Steven Souza, he's from there. Awesome Seattle.
Oh man, I'm looking for the Salk and Brock show. I miss being able to like go back and forth with those guys.
The Rock and Roll Museum.
Oh god, the Rock and Roll Museum is great. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is, it feels like it. I mean, it's raining every day. If it's cloudy, it's like it feels like. I mean,
it does. It looks like Seattle.
It's like
look out the window. It looks like it's Seattle outside.
Just, you know, ignore the palm trees swaying in the window.
That's the one thing
that's
a little out of place is the palm trees. But other than that, to look out the window here, it's very Seattle-like. Absolutely. Hope you're enjoying the weather. Hope you're staying safe out there with the wet roads and everything. Please, you know, drive cautiously and all that stuff. Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Cliff Kingsbury said today that despite the fact Andy Reid announced his intentions quite, you know, transparently, that Patrick Mahomes is going to play most of the first half, the starters are going to play the first half on Friday, that whatever Kansas City does, that does not impact whatever the Arizona Cardinals are going to do.
No, it doesn't. You know, we're going to do what we think's best for us, and they'll do what they think is best for them, but that won't change our plan.
What's best for you guys?
Yeah, you have to tune in. Check it out.
So,
it's a good question.
Yeah, you can see the
we'll
difference.
What's best for us? What is best for you, Cliff?
You can see the difference in philosophies right away. Here's Andy Reid basically putting it all on the table. Yeah, our starters are going to play the first half. Patrick Mahomes is going to play the first half. Cliff, what are you going to do? You'll have to tune in to find out. It's a big secret. We don't want anyone
exactly
to know.
National secrets.
Seriously.
Can't let anybody know. Andy Reid's like, man, I've won a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter.
Seriously,
I'm
right?
I'm fat and I'm happy.
Andy Reid's like, I got nothing to lose. I'll tell you exactly what we're doing in
the
preseason.
I'm actually going to tell you what plays we're going to run. We're going off tackle right on the first play.
Counter Z triple waggle. Yeah. What do you want, man? That's what we're going to
run. Rick coming with an all-out blitz on the first play.
Hey, Cliff.
From defense.
I'm blitzing on this play, all right? I'm gonna.
On fourth and two, from our 30, we're gonna do a fake punt. I'm just gonna tell you everything we're gonna do.
We do know from Cliff today that for this preseason game coming up on Friday, DeAndre Hopkins being eased back into practice, he's not gonna play.
Yeah, he didn't do much. We're easing him back in, but he's feeling better and he'll be full go. You know, I don't think he'll play this week, but he'll be full go for next week's practice. Just something minor.
That's the bad. Has any word been used more than that? Something minor.
No.
The number one word in training camp is something minor. What's he got? Something minor. What? I mean, you could lose your limbs. Something minor.
It's a minor thing.
It's a minor. Something minor.
It's a minor deal.
Yeah, it's just minor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just minor. It's nothing to worry about.
Limited vocabulary. No, but is that not the number one word we've heard?
That has been the number one phrase coming out of Cardinals camp in the 3 weeks since they've been there.
Our colleague Kevin Zimmerman at ArizonaSports.com is keeping a running tally of all of these. And of course,
no, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
I saw this actually.
Minor deal has been mentioned three times. Minor issue has been mentioned four. Minor thing, 4.
That's 11.
Minor something, 2.
13.
Minor stuff, 4.
17.
And then maintained with no minor on
no, that,
that
doesn't count.
Yeah, okay.
17 times something
times
minor.
Something has been described as a minor fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
Tore his ACL, MCL, and PCL, but it's something minor.
Well, I don't
only
think
his knee.
I don't think that qualifies as something
it's
minor.
It's not as hard. It's just his knee. We could rebuild it. You ever watch a $6 million man?
I would hope you would use the word major to describe something like
that. That'd be minor, too.
The most interesting thing that come out of Cliff today in his press conference at training camp was him kind of opening up a little bit about how differently he's approaching this year as a head coach. And specifically, not spending all of his time with just the quarterbacks, not spending all of his time with just the offense, how he's kind of divvied up those responsibilities a little bit so that he can take more of a general head coaching role this year.
It's been great. Cam is the guy who has been here, you know, this his third year, I guess fourth year here total, and three with me, or going on three with me, and he understands what I'm looking for and has a great rapport with those guys, and it's really, really worked well. It's allowed me to, you know, keep my eyes on different areas and even in meetings. He does a great job meeting with those guys, and I can hop in and out and handle other things.
Cam is Cam Turner, the quarterback's
yeah.
coach.
You know what this really means is that Cliff is becoming more of a coach instead of just like a quarterback coach, offensive play caller type of thing. I'm going to be a head coach. I'm going to be more involved. I'm going to make sure that I give a little bit of love to everybody. I'm more of a leader instead of, you know, I think he was ultra-focused those first 2 years on Kyler, 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 and making sure you had to give all your time to Kyler. Now, it may also be a sign of maturity with Kyler. I don't have to babysit Kyler as much. Kyler knows what I expect from him. Kyler knows what I want from him. Kyler knows I don't need to sit there and watch every rep Kyler takes. He knows what to do. So I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, jumping jacks because he knows how to do so. I'm able to now spread myself around to other areas and make sure that I've got an eye on everything because I am the head coach of this football team.
Called it a different kind of thing to not always just be with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. You know, I love being with the quarterbacks and working with them, but it's definitely helped, I think, overall or from an organization standpoint, me being able to kind of keep my eyes in other places as well.
He needs to do this, right?
Yes.
He needs to be a more stately kind of head coach presence. I don't know if stately is the right word, but he needs to be more omnipresent than just hanging out with the quarterbacks or hanging out with the offense all the time. And yet, I don't want Cliff to get too far away from his strengths either. This offense wasn't very good last year. Cliff is going to, by and large, be judged on, I mean, he's going to be judged on a lot of things. He's going to be judged on wins and losses, whether they get to the playoffs. But bouncing back last year from how they performed offensively is going to be one of the main things that he's going to be judged on. So I want him to get far from those responsibilities offensively, but not too far. Does that make sense?
Sure.
He still has to play to his strengths, and his strengths, reportedly, are coaching up an offense real good. He still needs to stick with that because that's his primary value to the Cardinals is his ability to draw up an offense.
I get it, but did you ever overstudy for a test when you went to college?
Every time.
You ever overprep for the show?
Every day.
I mean, it's just like sometimes, like, you know, listen, you're a head coach. You know what you want to do with this offense. You know, spend that extra time with the secondary. Spend that extra time with the linebackers, checking on Zaven and Isaiah. Spend it with the defensive line, which has a lot of guys out. You know, there comes a point where I understand what you're saying. Like you don't have to keep putting more and more time into the offense. Like you've been a head coach now for 3 years. You know, you work on it in the offseason. You're working on your game plans, what you want to do. You probably watched all that film.
Yep.
But now that you're in camp, like a lot of the major work for him is done.
Should be done. Yeah.
Should be done. Now, you know, don't spread yourself then on just the offense, go work around to other areas.
Cliff talked about a couple of other things, including guys getting cut last Tuesday, next Tuesday. The final cut's coming up in less than 2 weeks. He makes it a point to make sure he talks with every player who gets cut.
I do, just because I was cut like 7-8 times. And so you remember that. And just, I mean, a kind word and appreciation for the hard work that doesn't take a lot of time.
Do you get the same kind of talk, or is every –
No, everybody's different. You know, I think it's important to be specific to, you know, what they can do better and what they did. And so, yeah, I try to make sure that it's personal.
And, of course, he couldn't go a day without taking a shot at his buddy Sean McVay, the head coach of
the
Rams.
What is up with these two?
I don't know. I really enjoy it. It's kind of funny. He was asked if he's watching Hard Knocks, and he said, no, I'm really not because...
I didn't see it. Yeah, I don't really watch that stuff. I watched the White Lotus, though. It's a good one on HBO. But I didn't see Hard Knocks. I just watched it when McVay was doing it to make fun of him. So that was about it.
Man, what is going on with him and McVay?
I don't know, but I've heard a lot of good things about that White Lotus.
The White Lotus.
I've heard a lot of good things about that show.
Campbell, well, that's just friendship. When your friend is on a television show or a series.
Yeah. That's he friendship. Seems to rag him even when he's not on a television show.
Yeah, I mean, that's friendship.
He just always seems
like
saying.
Like if you were coaching the Rams and I was coaching the Cardinals, I would probably throw in a press conference. Yeah, I was watching Gambo just to make fun of him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I was watching Coach Gambo just to give him crap about this or give him crap about that.
I don't have any friends, so I don't really have to kind of worry about that.
So we have
to love to give you crap.
Yeah.
The
White Lotus. I've heard good things about
it. I'm watching The Last Kingdom right now, and I'm on like my last episode tonight, and then I have to try something new.
Maybe you should try The White Lotus. Cliff recommends it. When we come back in the Burns and Gambo show. Diamondbacks, some of their young players, they're starting to heat up. What's been the reason for the recent success? We'll talk with D-backs outfielder, infielder Josh Van Meter. He'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Clubhouse Call-In with Burns and Gambo. Presented by American Telephone, your partner for cloud communications. Serving Arizona for over 30 years. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Clubhouse Call-In every Wednesday. We get the opportunity to talk with a member of the Diamondbacks organization from the Clubhouse. And today's Clubhouse Call-In is with a guy who had a very good night last night. Josh Van Meter, doubled home run, the two-run shot in the sixth. The Diamondbacks beat the Phillies, and he joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Josh, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming on for a few. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, great game last night. Obviously, that home run was huge. You guys got another win. You took 3 out of 4 from the Padres. You beat the Phillies. But let's just talk about what has happened since you came back from AAA. The last 24 games, you're hitting .296, 10 doubles, a triple, 2 home runs, 13 RBIs. I've heard you talk about the mental aspect of the game. Do you credit that as to the success you're having right now?
Yeah. I've said last night that it's kind of been a multitude of things. Mentally, this game is so much mental, and I think when I went back to AAA and, had the success that I had when I came back up, I think I was just more at peace with who I am as a player. Like, I know I can hit. I think when you have those struggles, like I did early in the season, especially when you're not playing a whole lot and trying to make an impression and all these other things, you get caught up in everything except for playing the game. And I think in having confidence in your game. And so when I got back, I felt like, I'm good enough to hit at this level. I'm good enough to play at this level. That's really helped me a lot. And trying not to worry about all the other things that are out of my control. Just try to control what I can control. And obviously there's been a couple physical adjustments. As a hitter, you're always trying to make adjustments, always trying to stay on top of your swing and stuff like that. But really, I think the biggest changes for me and where I've found success has definitely been the mental part of the game.
Yeah, you made the opening day roster, but that obviously, not getting a lot of playing time, there was some struggles. Were you beating yourself up over that? And when you got the news that you were going back to AAA, how did you take that?
Yeah, I think for any player, when you struggle, it's hard not to dive into those struggles and try to figure out every solution to every problem. For me, some of those problems were really out of my control. And then when I got sent down, obviously it's never easy being told that you're getting sent down to AAA. But I took it as an opportunity to go and prove people wrong and prove to people that, I can, be successful, and, went into it with a good mindset. I've seen guys, in the past, you see guys go down and they take it the wrong way and kind of let issues compound. I really tried not to do that. I went down and tried to have as much fun as I could and just play the game. And, you know, I had a lot of success, and I think I attribute a lot of that to just playing with a free mind. I think when I mentally trap myself, you know, not only me, but there's probably a lot of players out there that mentally trap themselves into struggling and try not to do that, and it's been working for me.
Josh Van Meter from the Arizona Diamondbacks, he's our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Doubled homered last night, as Gambo alluded. He's been playing very well as of late. He's our guest here on the Clubhouse call-in. And not that anybody ever roots for anything like this, but I was reading a kind of a game recap story of last night, including some of your comments. Ever since the Escobar trade, knowing that an 0-for-4 or a stretch of games where you're not doing well, it won't impact you being in the lineup the next day. There's a comfort in knowing that, isn't there, for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as far as Esky, you know, not being here anymore, you know, Esky was one of the best clubhouse guys I've ever been around. And, you know, I think it's a really exciting opportunity for him to go to Milwaukee and have a chance to win. You know, you watch them play, they got a chance with that pitching that they got a chance to make a lot of noise in the postseason. But yeah, you know, for me, I think I said it last night, you know, a lot of people look at being comfortable, in a negative way. And I said it that I think the only time it becomes a negative is when you take advantage of that comfort. But I do think there's a lot of value in being in a comfortable headspace of like, you know, even though I go 0-for-4, even, you know, let's say I go 0-for-4 with 3 punch outs, it's not the end of the world. You know, I said it last night that there's going to be struggles in this game that, you know, everybody, it's a cliche statement, but you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer, you right. know, and there's going to be days where you go 0-for-4. There's going to be stretches where you go 0-for-10, 0-for-15. But I think mentally trying to flush those as fast as possible, obviously it's a lot easier said than done. But I think that I've been doing a pretty good job of just treating a day's work as a day's work. And, you know, you get to the next day and it's a brand new day to try to take advantage of an opportunity. And it's what I'm going to continue to try to do.
From a team standpoint, obviously this whole season has been challenging for everybody involved, but over the last 25, 26 games, you guys are basically playing .500 baseball. How much more relaxed is the room with how you guys have played for the last month or so?
Yeah. You know, it's been a lot more fun, I can tell you that. I think that, yeah, everyone is just going out there and playing the game and trying to compete. You know, there's, you know, we're in the role of kind of playing spoiler right now. And, you know, with as tough of a season as it's been, you know, we can spoil a lot of teams, you know, playoff chances. And, you know, I think we're taking a lot of pride in that. And, you know, we take 3 out of 4 from the Padres, which was a big deal. And, you know, take game one of a set with the Phillies, who are fighting and scratching to try to get into a wild card spot. And, you know, I think we're taking a lot of pride in playing that spoiler role. And, you know, the other side to it is there's a lot of opportunity for guys in our locker room to get a chance at having an opportunity, having a position next year. And I think everybody's just going out there and competing the best they can and, you know, really rallying around each other to take on this spoiler role to the best of its ability. And, you know, we're going to continue to try to do that.
Yeah, let me ask you one more. And when I look at you and I look at the younger players, I'm seeing Paven Smith and I'm seeing Dalton Varsho, who had the walk-off home run the other day against the Padres. And these guys are opposite. You guys are taking advantage of these opportunities. Are you motivated along with these other young players who are trying to, you know, earn a spot for next year? Are you guys motivated to work with each other for that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think from our standpoint, you know, you look at us, it's a good little core of players. And I think having each other to lean on each other every day and trying to do it together only helps us even more. And I think, you know, all we can do is worry about our games and, you know, go out and give it our best and the rest will take care of itself. But I do think it's cool that there's kind of this core of younger guys that are kind of figuring some things out at the big league level. And, you know, Rojas has turned into a great hitter. I mean, he is fun to watch hit at the plate at the moment. What he's doing is special. And Paven's going to be a really good big league hitter for a long time. And we got a lot of guys who I think can be successful at the big league level. And like you said, it's there's an opportunity right now to take advantage of. And it'd be really cool if the group of us could do it together.
Josh, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on for a few. Congratulations again on the big night last night. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Josh Van Meter joining us on the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, D-backs and the Phils. Game two of that series coming up tonight. When we come back, our Phoenix Children's Hospital Giveathon continues with another tremendous opportunity to raise money for our jewel that we have here in the Valley. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Man, we are so grateful to everybody who has called in and donated so far on our Giveathon. I'm looking at our updated tote board. Our Giveathon week for Phoenix Children's Hospital presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We are now at $810,000
wow.
So far through about 2.5 days of raising money for, like I called it earlier, a jewel in our community. And it absolutely is. And we so much want you to get involved if you haven't had a chance yet. The Desert Financial Phone Bank at 602-933-4567. We are really encouraging you, if you haven't done it yet, pick up the phone, tell the volunteer you'd like to become a Champion of Hope, which is a $20 monthly donation. And all you have to do is call 602-933-4567.
Yeah, you know the facts. $2.7 million a day to run this hospital. They don't turn any children away. They are helping kids right now with cancer, with brain injuries. They're helping kids every single day, heart issues. And so we would love for you to become a Champion Hope. I'd love for you right now in the next 5 minutes to get five people to call up and become a Champion of Hope. That's $20 a month, and it'll go a long way towards helping this hospital. 602-933-4567. Would love to add five new Champion of Hopes onto the docket right now, if we could do that.
325 patients right now. There are 104 in the emergency department alone. There are no beds in the ER right now. There's only 8 beds in the NICU department, the newborn infant area. It's so vitally important for you to make that call. And, yeah, five of you. That's the challenge right now. Five of you. 602-933-4567. We also partner up with some great, great businesses here in the Valley, and that includes this check presentation from Sagicor.
Hi, my name is Mike Stricker, and I'm here with Sagicor Life Insurance Company. We're excited to be a part of this year's Giveathon. We've been a proud partner of Phoenix Children's for over 15 years and have donated a lot of money over that time. In addition to, we have really participated with Phoenix Children's Hospital on an annual basis on a lot of events that they do every year. Therefore, we're honored to be able to present this check in the amount of $5,000. We encourage the community to call the phone number at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon. On behalf of Sagicor, thank you, Phoenix Children's, for being there for our community. Our kids can't wait, and you're there to provide hope and strength and the dreams for our kids.
We thank you, Sagicor, for your $5,000 donation, helping us get closer and closer to our goal of raising money for Phoenix Children's Hospital so we can help out kids who are there right now. Kids like Stella. A surgery to remove a tumor from Stella's brainstem left her unable to talk. But every single time the dog Yankee, the therapy dog, would visit, her face would absolutely light up. Learn about the incredible story of this young Phoenix Children's patient, tear-jerking moment with animal-assisted therapy. This is Stella's story.
Hello, I'm Brian.
And this is Lori Blair. And this is our daughter Stella's story.
Fall of 2020, we noticed Stella having headaches on occasion, was losing her balance very easily. She couldn't ride her bicycle.
The doctors didn't think much of it, but we just had a feeling it was something more. We finally went to a neurologist, and she did write a prescription for an MRI for a peace of mind.
Of course, we got the scan done, and then we found that tumor. Basically, our whole world pretty much was turned upside down at that point.
It's basically a tumor on her brainstem called cavernous malformation syndrome.
From the time we found out to the time we ended up at PCH, it was only like a 3-week period. So it was a whirlwind 3 weeks, and then we had the surgery.
When she came out of surgery, it was pretty scary. Basically, she wasn't able to talk at all. She had no movement at all in the left side of her body. And it was absolutely terrifying. They transferred us to Children's ICU.
I knew she was in good hands because they were giving her the most attention and best attention I've ever seen in a hospital.
No one could really tell us when or if she was going to talk again, but the one thing that made a huge difference were the animals. Her face would just light up. The dog Yankee is sitting on her lap and she was petting him, and all of a sudden she just started talking.
I wanted to talk to the dog, Yankee.
It was just incredible. I was crying and everyone in the room was crying because it just happened so spontaneously. And it was just because she wanted to talk to the dog. And it was just like really amazing because it's just so hard to see your child suffer. You know, you want them to participate in the therapy to get better, but then also, you know, you don't want to make it worse than what she's already been through. And the dogs just were the most amazing distraction.
Let's waste time chasing cars around our heads.
This is such an important program to give to. I don't think we would have seen the incredible recovery that we saw without those therapy dogs.
I love the dogs at Phoenix Children's Hospital.
Even if you can give your child just a few moments of joy during all of the trauma that they've had to go through, I mean, you can't put a price on that. To Yankee's owner, thank you.
If I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
The dogs at Phoenix Children helped me get better.
Love that story.
That's a great
story. Love that story, isn't it?
You know that there are more than 60 Phoenix Children's programs and services funded entirely or partially by philanthropy?
Yep.
Over 60. There's art therapy. There's music therapy. There is the animal-assisted therapy that you just heard about. And these programs, they do a large part in assisting the healing process, you know, for kids just like Stella. So they're imperative to have these programs available, but they cost money.
That is why we need you to call, and that is why we're happy to announce that we are in the middle of a match right now.
Let's do it!
American Textile Recycling Services, matching your donations when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. We need five of our awesome Burns and Gambo listeners to pick up the phone and call 602-933-4567. And if you do it, American Textile Recycling Services will match your donation dollar for dollar up to $12,500 when you call and say, I want to be a champion of hope. $20 a month. That's all we're asking, and then we'll take a teddy bear upstairs to a kid in your name.
Hey, man, especially if you've got a dog named after a sports team or a sports player or something, right? You know, it's like, that's the one for me. This is the she had the therapy dog, Yankee. Maybe you've got a dog named, you know.
Our dog is named Stan after Stan Musial.
Stan Musial, maybe you've got a dog named after, you know, somebody on a sports team or a player or a team or somebody, so that's a good time to call.
602-933-4567, 602-933-4567. And then when you do, we fire up the train Teddy Bear Express. Volunteers at the hospital right now taking that teddy bear when you become a champion of hope upstairs to one of the kids at Phoenix Children's Hospital. It's Giveathon Week. It's presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers, and man, we are so grateful for you getting involved. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, the Phoenix Suns, two wins away from an NBA title. Their championship window, though, it could be open for a little bit. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah is here with us. She has our Twitter poll question of the day. This is actually something we're going to be talking about a little later on in the show, based off of comments Torrey Lovello made to us yesterday, the manager of the Diamondbacks, and then D-backs GM Mike Hazen made this morning to the Doug and Wolf show.
Yes.
The Diamondbacks no longer have the worst record in Major League Baseball. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? That's basically the crux of what we're asking?
Yeah, more or less.
You did it more in your professional Sarah Cazell kind of way.
Oh, stop it.
What do you...
Stop it.
But keep doing it. Yeah, stop it. Don't stop it.
It was just one sentence that I wrote. Do you want the Diamondbacks to tank and get the top pick in next year's MLB draft? Maybe I should have pointed out to a lot of the sarcastic responses that, like you just said, the Orioles are now at the bottom of the league.
Yeah, the Orioles are there right now. They have
very close.
Yeah, it's like they're separated by game, I think.
Do you want the D-backs to get the top pick in next year's draft?
So yes or no. Yes, go get that number one pick, or no, tanking creates a bad culture. We don't want that.
I'm not going to lie.
Please don't.
I want the top pick. You have to play to win these games. You got to develop these players. But I prefer to have the top pick.
I hate the culture of tanking.
Yeah.
I really, really do. I hate it. I think it's poison. But I do really want the top pick, too. So I'm going to vote for the top pick.
If you are going to have this bad of a season, it might at least be worth something
in the
future.
Be the reward for it. Yeah. So I'm with Gambo on this one. I hate to admit it, but I really would like to have the top pick. What's our audience
saying
on this one?
66% of our voters admit it as well. 66% say, yes, tank and go get that number one pick. 34% right now say don't. That creates a bad culture.
Okay. Good question. Like I say, we'll talk more in detail and give you kind of our reasonings, maybe a little more nuanced conversation about that a little bit later. But for now, you can vote on that poll question at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find that on social media as we welcome you back in on this wet and rainy Wednesday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Tremendous, thought-provoking article from John Hollinger of The Athletic today about the future of the NBA. In a suddenly win-now NBA, what happens later, he asks. A win-now mindset has gripped the league, he writes, with relatively few teams preaching patience and almost NFL mentality that has overcome the NBA the last year. And he paints this picture of what things are going to look like in the 2024-2025 season.
We've talked so much about but we've never put it the way Hollinger did, right? We never did the homework on it. But, I mean, we just did it. We just talked about it. Steph's going to be old. Damian's going to be old. And LeBron's going to be old. And Paul George, like we've always said it. We know the guys that they're going to be old. But Hollinger went a step further. He didn't look at this next season, which will be 21-22. Or the season after that, which will be 22-23. Or even the season after that, which will be 23-24. He looked at the 24-25 season. So basically...
3 years from now.
3 years from right now.
Yep.
3 years. And we'll do it one at a time. Steph Curry's 37 years old, making $52.6 million, and still has a year left on his deal.
Paul George is 33. He's making $49 million. Kawhi Leonard is 32. He's making $49 million.
Damian Lillard is 34, raking in $49 million.
Drew Holiday is 34. He's making $38 million. Could go up to $40 million.
Jimmy Butler, he's 35 and making $48 million. And still has a year left on his deal.
The Lakers could very well be paying a 40-year-old LeBron James north of $50 million that season. They can also look forward to the season prior where Russell Westbrook is going to make $47 million.
36-year-old Kevin Durant is making $51 million. And you'd still have possibly Harden and Irving on those contracts as well.
You notice who we didn't mention. We didn't mention the Phoenix Suns.
No.
Because the Phoenix Suns are not in this boat. The Phoenix Suns, in fact, he points out that maybe the success of the Hawks and the Suns led more owners to try to turn things around quickly, but that the Suns and the Hawks really had to suffer for the success they had. You know, losing all those games, getting all those draft picks, drafting guys like Trae Young and Kevin Huerter and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges, and developing guys like John Collins and Devin Booker. And it was only when they knew that they were close enough to be good that each of them struck and got out a Clint Capella in Atlanta, a Chris Paul in Phoenix, a Jay Crowder in Phoenix. And basically, it paints this picture of 3 years from now, a league where all these team stars are going to be old. They're going to be expensive. They're not going to have draft picks because they gave them all up to get those guys.
That's a good point. That's later on in the story. These teams, a lot of these teams don't have draft picks.
And the Suns should be well positioned to take advantage of that.
Let's talk about that. In 3 years, Devin Booker will have just turned 27 years old. In October, he'll have turned 27. DeAndre Ayton will be 26. Mikal Bridges will be 27. Cam Johnson will be 28. So your Suns stars will all be, one will be 26, two will be 27, and one will be 28 years old, while a lot of these other teams are dealing with aging stars in their mid to late 30s and possibly even early 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, do I want to run and go throw, you know, a little bit of money on the Suns in the 2024-25 season? Maybe.
I don't know what kind of odds you get for that season.
Listen, the window is, and I know people don't believe in the window. I believe in the window. I believe in the window. I think the window is open for a period of time. The Suns don't have to win the championship next year. They've got a window because these guys, as long as they keep them, they re-sign DA, they re-sign McHale, they keep Cam. I think that this window is open for a number of years. This window may be open for more than 5 years. It's possible that it could be open for more than 5 years. They're in a great spot to be a competitive team for a long time. I don't think we'll see the Suns out of the playoffs anytime soon.
Agree.
So I think that and I also don't think they're going to sneak in as a 7 or 8 seed. I think they're legitimately one of the top 5 teams in the West every single year, depending on how season things go and injuries and stuff like that. So I think the window is wide open for them. And when you look at the age of the Phoenix Suns and you start projecting 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and look at the age of their guys and look at the age of other teams, they might be able to really overcome the mistakes that other teams have had to make. You've had to make some of those mistakes.
Sure.
Tying those guys up for those contracts.
And if I were fans of those teams, I wouldn't have any regrets of my team going for it. You know, I wouldn't be mad at the Brooklyn Nets if I were a Nets fan for them going for it. That's the moment you have.
And I'm going to go with the Nets. They owe a first or a pick swap to Houston in the next 6 drafts.
Yep.
They owe a pick or a swap to Houston in the next 6 drafts. They're not getting any help by the draft.
Nope, they're betting that they can win it sometime before they have to do that, and that will justify it. And you know what? If they can win a championship, it will.
It will.
It will justify all that, and you'll give up your draft picks for 6 straight years if that's what it takes to get yourself a title.
The Clippers, they owe 3 firsts and 2 pick swaps to the Thunder. The Lakers are out of 2 firsts and a pick swap to New Orleans. Like, these teams that are going to have these aging players, you know, they are going to have a hard time trading because they don't have the inventory to trade. Like, you could entice somebody, okay, I want to get draft picks. Well, a lot of these teams aren't going to. Milwaukee owes 3 firsts and 2 pick swaps as a result of 2 trades. Utah, Rudy Gobert is going to be 32, making $43 million, and they're going to owe a first-round pick to Memphis. In 2022. So a lot of these teams are really going to struggle because they don't have the inventory to make trades.
You can text us your thoughts on the Suns' window to compete. The FanDuel text line is open for you at 620-620. Text us whenever you'd like. We'll read the best ones on the air. The FanDuel text line, 620-620. We can't do the job of helping Phoenix Children's Hospital without the support of listeners like you and the Great Valley business community. And next, we'll have a check presentation from one of our local professional sports teams here in the Valley. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.